plugged in and ready to go.
Okay.
Finally. Well, it's Sunday the 3rd of September here in Australia, and you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and try and make doing our best here today, but finally plugged in with Dr. Rima. But the podcast, as usual, always goes up on my website, krazfiles.com, so get over there and have a look. Plenty going up. There's just tons of info going up there, and videos and links and everything. And you can also get the podcast over at iTunes and Facebook, the Kraz Files. Twitter, it goes up there. There is a YouTube channel, but I'm not putting them up there at the moment, maybe later. And but always check over on Facebook, and also you can download it over at over at iTunes as well. And you can also check out our other great website, opensourcetruth.com. Plenty going up there, as I promised before. It's really lots of info going up there. And that links over to Natural Solutions Foundation page over on Facebook as well. So we're sharing a lot of information out there. Dr. Rima Labo, the good doctor, is back in the house today. A bit late for you, Doc, but we'll try and get through, nail this down as fast as we can. How are you going?
I'm going very well. The
been
fact that it's late. Yes, it has. Unfortunately, it's been too long, but here we are. The fact that it's late doesn't matter. You know, there are adults and children being slaughtered, some slowly, some rapidly, by this vaccine madness. And so if I have to stay up a little bit later to get this information out, well, it's worth it. And thank you so much for having me back on the podcast, Adam. I think you're doing a fabulous job, and I endorse and support every bit of your work. So anything we can do at the Natural Solutions Foundation to support and to collaborate is a pleasure for us.
Great, yeah. Well, my head's in about 30 places at the same time at the moment, but doing my doing my best to keep the information. We're under attack in Australia, as you know.
I know.
Big time. We're just trying to counteract all the... I mean, as we were just talking before we started, the Australian government have a $5.5 million, you know, pro-vaccination propaganda and fear campaign, you know, that's just started here. So, you know, because they're acting desperate.
Well, that's wonderful. You know?
It's
that's
good.
Wonderful.
You know, bring it on.
The reason they have that campaign is because we are sticking a stick, or rather a syringe, in their eye, and they have noticed that we are winning. So they said, "Oh my God, we have to do something," and they've just ramped up the propaganda and kept the dialogue from happening. And so people are saying, "Wait, if they're banning people just because their ideas are different, that must mean that they have something to say that the government once suppressed. Huh, isn't that interesting? Maybe there is something to this vaccine concern," and indeed there is. So I really am appreciative of the stupidity and the leaden-footedness of the government. I think it's helping us greatly.
That's what I said. Yeah, they're... you know, they didn't like the movie Vax rolling out around Australia, and then they didn't like the Vax crew talking with parents who have vaccine-injured children, and so they barred Miss Tommy for 3 years. Of course, we'll talk now about Kurt Huckenlively. They just prohibited him from getting a visa, so that's what they're doing now. We know about all this, but they're lashing out in such a desperate and ugly manner. And the media as well are just, I mean, I don't need to tell you how bad the Australian media are. I mean, we've been putting up stuff for years, and, you know, our debates challenge is still open. We haven't had one debate person accept a debate. I've tried a few recently, but they just completely ignore me to come on this show or your show and talk to you about the kind of vaccine information they're pumping out. And we're going to go through an article with you today because they just won't talk to us. And they're ramping it up. And they're doing it on all the TV shows. And they're just insulting people who don't want to vaccinate their kids and poison them, you know. And and being vicious, ugly, nasty trolls in their behavior, you know. So we just keep moving forward, but the government doesn't like the amount of information that we're able to get out now to the amount of people, especially in regards to social media. We're just, and our alternative news networks that are linking up internationally, and of course here in Australia, some big ones. It's, you know, thousands upon thousands of people in some of the Facebook pages and beyond, and so we're getting a lot of info out to general everyday families in this country, and that's what we want. We want them to see the other side. If people are pregnant, or they just had a kid, or they got a 6-month-old and the doctors are harassing them, I hear this a lot, Dr. Rima, they're starting to get harassed. We want to get our information out to these people, and that's what the government are trying to stop. So, hence the $6 million fear campaign and propaganda campaign.
I love it. Let me remind you, and you know this to be true, that truth has a resonance that rings like a bell inside people's hearts, inside their souls. And so the propaganda can bang and bang and bang, and the trumpets can blare and the drums can beat, but that bell of truth attracts attention and people say, wait a minute, that's interesting. I need to pay attention to that. That's an interesting sound. I wonder what that means. Gee, I need to know more about that. Gosh, I need to protect my baby. Gee, I need to protect myself. Wow. And as I say, and as you have created a meme for, what if we're right? What if vaccines do all the terrible things that we know they do? What if the propaganda is wrong and we're right? You only get one shot at not giving your child a shot each time they're due for one.
That's right. Well, you know, we were discussing that on a few shows with John Rappaport. You know, we were talking about how the medical system, through the doctors and the pharmacies and the pharmaceutical industry, of course, how predatory they are, and how it's almost like they act like a serial killer, you know, because, you know, they're killing all these people and no one's ever tying it back to them or questioning them. They always get away with it, you know. When it comes to the pharmaceutical industry, there's so much secrecy. And John was talking about WikiLeaks, how there's not one single leak in regards to the big pharmaceutical industry on those websites. It's just really hush-hush. It's like no one's allowed to question this system. You just do what you're told. And you're getting that here. You're seeing it in Australia more than anywhere. It really has turned into this Big Brother Orwellian nightmare here now, where the government don't care about any truth or any facts or what you have to say or what I have to say or how many of us are worried about this, or parents are worried about jabbing their kids. You know, they're just saying, you're going to do it now. And that's it. And if you don't, we're going to re-educate you. You know, so
exactly,
important times.
Important times.
People are seeing it, seeing the damage. They're seeing the damage. Come on, I'm seeing it, Dr. Emo. I've seen it for years. It's right in your face. For God's sakes, you know, you take a healthy kid, a 6 months old, to get these jabs, and they, all these terrible things happen to them. You know, and it's obvious, but no one's tying it back, and I think they're starting to have a look now. That's all we want. We just want everyday parents to start having a look at this and what's going on. You know, that's the important thing. And these poor kids, you know, I really, really, really feel sorry for them. But, you know, jeez, as I said before, we don't know how they're going to lash out. It's just going to get worse, but I think they're going to get more desperate and more silly. They're
more
looking
silly, exactly.
They're looking like clowns.
They're looking pretty stupid right now.
Stupid.
With what they did to Kent Heckenlively and what they did to Suzanne Humphries and what they're doing to one person after
That's
another.
Right.
And what they're doing is attracting the attention of people who are saying, hello, if they have to suppress it, maybe there's something to it.
That's right. Well, talk about Kurt a little bit. We're going to go
Kent.
Into this.
Kent.
Kent. We're going to go into a vaccine safety article finish off the show with that, but talk about Kent a little bit, because he's tied up with the Boland report, isn't he? Tim Boland.
Well, he's tied up with us. He's tied up with the Natural Solutions Foundation, and it's a wonderful story. Kent Hickenlively, as folks may know, is an attorney from California with two vaccine-damaged children. One, his daughter Jacqueline, at 19, is still struggling very hard. His son, who is younger, the parents recognized what had happened immediately after it happened with his first set of vaccines. And so they started making changes to repair the situation. And he has been retrieved. He has been saved from the desperate difficulties of an autistic person. So Kent saw two children react to vaccines. Happily, he was able to retrieve one. So far, the other, the older child, is still, as I said, still challenged by all the things that happened in her life. But Kent said, wait, this is wrong. And he did the usual things. He talked to people and he wrote books, two very, very good books. And he expected a dialogue. He expected rational discourse. And he was sadly, sadly disappointed. And finally, he said, enough. I am the world's number one anti-vaxxer, and I'm proud of it. And I am jealous. I have to tell you, I am deeply jealous, because I wish I had thought of saying I am the world's number one anti-vaxxer. So what we've done is create a little bit of a campaign in which we ask people to all become the world's number one anti-vaxxer, Kent leading the parade. But I'm right up there, and so are you, and so is everybody else who understands that you cannot prevent or cure diseases by injecting people with pus and poison. It just doesn't work. So Kent Hickenlively created a petition, a White House petition, which is a U.S. Non-binding public relations method for telling the White House what's important to you. And if the tradition is, and this is not legally binding, that if 100,000 people sign a presidential, a White House petition, then the White House will attend to it. And that's not necessarily the case, and attending to it might be pretty weak, but that is a public relations tool. So he came to us and he spoke to Counsel Ralph Fusatola, who is one of the trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation. And by the way, in addition to opensourcetruth.com, you might want to go to Dr. Rima Truth Reports, DRRIMA. truthreports.com, and enter your email address, and that way we'll be able to send you our free newsletter and give you a perspective from our side of that particular pond and beyond. And some people find that very helpful, I am glad to say. Anyway, Kent came to us and said to Counsel Fusatola, what do you think? And Ralph said, I think it's a great idea, but I think there's more we can do. And Ken said, yeah, what? And we said, in addition to the non-binding but public relations important presidential or White House petition, how about filing a binding petition, a petition for the redress of grievances, as is permitted under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which I understand once upon a time was a document that had some impact on affairs, but now less and less. Anyway, under the First Amendment, not only are we permitted to have free speech, but we are also permitted to sue the petition, the government, for redress of grievances. And what that means is that there are thousands and thousands of what are called citizens' petitions initiated each year. And most of the regulations of the United States government are actually based upon citizens' petitions frequently filed by major corporations or whatever. And so if the petition is granted, you get what you want. If the petition is not granted, then things get interesting. The petition then, not having been granted, is considered to have exhausted your administrative remedies. That means you can now sue whatever agency it is to make whatever changes you want. And when we're talking about the FDA, that's the U.S. Fraud and Death Administration, which is a sister agency to the CDC or the Center for Disease Creation, when we're talking about those agencies, for example, they lose more than half the time in federal court. They get their head handed to them. They get whooped about the head and shoulders on a regular basis in court. But in order to go into court, you have to exhaust your administrative remedies, and these petitions are the best way. So we said, okay, the White House petition is great, but let's add another petition, a White House petition about what? About demanding that every vaccine that is on the childhood schedule be stopped, and demanding that the approvals be rescinded. Why? Because in the United States, and I suspect the case is true in Australia, this may be part of the reason that the government is getting so frantic and so silly. In the United States, under a statute that was passed in 1986, every vaccine must be shown to be both safe and effective. And more than that, every vaccine must be safer than the previous vaccines. Well, the number of vaccines that have ever been shown to be either safe or effective, forget about the statutory requirement for both, is a number that rhymes with the name of the emperor who is reputed to have played his violin while his empire crumbled. That was Nero. The number is zero. And that makes every vaccine in the United States illegal. Now, injecting something toxic, which is an unavoidable risk, according to the Supreme Court of the United States and many other courts, injecting something toxic that is unapproved or illegal, in the United States at least, is a crime. It is a crime against the child. It is assault and battery. It is a crime against humanity that would give you standing in the International Human Rights Court. It must be stopped, and we are calling for a 5-year moratorium on all childhood vaccines. And every sensible adult then says, yeah, but what about adult vaccines? Well, it's an easy extension from childhood vaccines to adult vaccines because they're illegal too. And I strongly suspect that they're also illegal in Australia. So what we're asking people to do, people in the international community as well as people in the United States, is go to a page that I'm going to give you and take the two actions there. You do not have to be a citizen of or a resident of the United States to take these actions and to leave your comments. In fact, the international pressure is incredibly important because no country wants to be a laughingstock or shamed in the international community. They want to do things that are worthy of being a laughingstock and things that are shameful, but they don't want to be identified for it. And international pressure is incredibly, incredibly important. So I would like you to please go to tinyurl.com/vaccine moratorium. tinyurl.com/vaccine moratorium. Take the two actions there and then share that on the social media. The worst forces in the U.S. and shadow global government created social media to control us, and it just didn't work out that way. In fact, it's liberated us and it's empowered us. So tell all your friends on Facebook and Twitter and Reddit and whatever you use and email that there is a very important set of actions that they need to take at tinyurl.com/vaccine moratorium. If they're illegal, if they're dangerous, if they're questionable, why shouldn't we declare a moratorium? Now, the likelihood is that the FDA will not declare a moratorium. And as I said before, that's great, because that puts us in court with the FDA in violation of the law that it is required to follow. Now, that was a bad law. In 1986 in the United States, the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board, which is a tilted playing field, to say the least, was created, and every vaccine manufacturer was relieved of any legal responsibility for the compensation or tort damage of anything that any vaccine that they manufactured did. However, that law also says all vaccines must be safer than previous vaccines and must be shown to be both safe and effective. And no vaccine has ever been. So they are all illegal. And we need your comments. We need your outrage. We need your vaccine injury stories in your comments. This counts. This really matters. And we will go to court with Counsel Heckenlively and with Counsel Fusatola leading the charge. It's another nail in the vaccine coffin. We don't want a nail in our coffin. We want a nail in their coffin.
That's right. Okay, that sounds good. Well, I'm assuming there's a page that you created for all that so I can post that with this podcast today.
Anyway, yes, tinyurl.com/vaccine moratorium. Yes.
I'll post the whole thing. Absolutely. There. So, excellent. Yeah,
thank
as
you.
As a story and a podcast over there. Yeah, so very important times. That was amazing. That was incredible about Kent. Coming to Australia, he wrote a letter to the Prime Minister, and he puts up some great material. He's very popular here now.
He's a wonderful guy, by the way. I understand that you have an article with 8 myths that we need to bunk because the debunking myths are myths.
That's right. That's right. I'll do that now. I'll just say... just in regards to that, from the papers here, yes, he was denied permission into Australia by Immigration Minister Peter Dutton, and they have done that because he's part of an international campaign calling for a pause in childhood vaccinations, which you just mentioned, and so Mr. Dutton said we're not going to allow him here on Sydney Radio because he's dangerous. He's dangerous, so that's what they're doing. And I even read in the comments on the papers, people who are pro-vaccine saying, you know, well, if vaccines are safe, they are effective, herd immunity is real. You know, good fantasy there, but if, you know, vaccines are safe and effective and the science is settled, like we're being told, then why aren't these people allowed to come in and talk? This is
exactly.
Absurd. It is disgusting, really. But they're only making it worse for themselves. But that's pretty unbelievable to ban a human being from coming into Australia to talk to other people, to other human beings, about his books and his view on vaccines is quite unbelievable. But this is a guy who is very strong-willed, Kent. He seems not met him. I'd have to try and get him on this podcast, Dr. Rima, but looks
oh,
like
yes.
He's going to be working with you very closely with the Natural Solutions yes. Foundation, which is a real breath of fresh air. That's what you guys, that's a fantastic, I couldn't think of a better person to join up with what you guys are doing. He is really, and he's full of beans and he's full of life and he's got a great sense of humor as well. And he's not going to back off. So we need guys like this. And this has drawn the attention that we need around the world. So everyone's seeing what the Australian government are doing. This draconian stance and this Orwellian approach they have and how they're acting here. So very good. This has given us the ammunition and the fight that we need here. And I think it's going to put a lot of people on side for us. And so fantastic news. And we will finish up with the vaccination safety article, Dr. Emma. And the reason I picked this is because I just think it's so important. The News Corp papers, for example, are, you know, here in Australia, they're putting out these articles supposedly debunking the anti-vaccination stance and myths and all of this. And, well, I don't understand who would be reading these because they're subscriber only. A lot of people would who are trying to share these articles from the Australian papers now are noticing they're subscriber only. Who the hell's going to give their credit card to these these people? I don't understand who would do that, but a lot of people, in fact, do still read them. So I this ties up with our debate challenge. We're open here. We've got you, Dr. Emma. We've got the Natural Solutions Foundation. We've got so many people who are willing to have an open debate with these vaccination-pushing cult members, but they won't talk to anybody because they're gutless and they're cowards, and now they're hiding this rubbish in subscriber-only sections. But nonetheless, it's still important to go over because here they're debunking the big eight anti-vaccine myths compared with the facts. So I thought what we would do, because I contacted this woman with our debate challenge page, your details and mine, she completely ignored me. They won't talk to us. I thought that we would do it here.
Well, one of the things that I love is they say, who are you, parent or mere citizen? Talk to your doctor. And then when a doctor, for instance, when I come along and I say, I am a doctor, would you like to talk to me? Because I'd like to bring you some of the real science that you are dismissing in order to distort science and get to a political point, which is everybody needs to be vaccinated. So I'm a doctor, and we can now talk as you have advised people do, and they run away. They scuttle off into the holes in the wall.
They run away. That's what they've done. We've actually had the debate challenge open since middle of 2015. And I can't get one person on with us to talk to you, a doctor. You are a doctor, about what they're pumping out here in Australia. So we have to do it because they're so cowardly. But what I'll do is I'll read through the article and then I will let you go through the bullet points there. And then and I'll link it up with today's show so people can read the points she's put out. And so the article was written not long ago, only a few days back, by Anthea Batsakis. Anthea Batsakis for the Herald Sun. And the title of the article was Vaccination Safety, Eight Anti-Vaccine Myths compared with the Facts. Okay.
Well, let me make a point before we begin. The term vaccination safety is, according to the United States Supreme Court,
safety, yeah.
French courts, Italian courts, the United States Special Masters Vaccine Injury Compensation Board Court, and other judicial bodies, an oxymoron. There is no such thing as vaccine safety, according to the courts.
Yeah.
All vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Okay? So let's start with the fact that myths about vaccine safety start with the fact that there is vaccine safety. There isn't.
Okay, so sorry, Anthea Batsakis. Your heading is even wrong, and we haven't started yet.
Yes, you've already flopped. before you began to move.
Well, you know, the reason I picked this doc is because, you know, the general public who picked this up will look at it and say, you know, there may be people out there who read these papers and they may be not sure if they're going to, and that's what I want to get the message out to. They might read this and say, and decide to go and vaccinate on the back of this, because she's supposedly debunking the top eight sort of arguments so by the anti-vaccination community. So I'll read the start here.
Let's go for it.
It says, medical advice is widespread and often contradicting on the internet. So when it comes to vaccinating your child, it's important to get the correct information.
As we see it,
taking messages plastered online and social media are misleading and often dangerous. I guess this is from hippies on the internet who eat mung beans. Make sure you discuss vaccination with a health professional and know Gwyneth Paltrow and Facebook famous well-being coach David Avocado Wolf don't come close. All right, so that's the top. So,
here we have an ad hominem attack. With exactly. No facts presented.
No facts.
How
yeah, that's
very
what I'm saying.
Attractive.
The attacks on people and the smart ass remarks and the nasty behavior, but nothing credible whatsoever that you could. It's just laughable. But here are eight anti vaccination arguments debunked. All right, so we have fiction and fact. It's a big pharma conspiracy. They just want more money. The pharmaceutical industry is in bed with the government. Fact. The classic alarmism.
That is a fact. wait, that's a fact.
I know. But fact. The classic alarmism go-to argument. The University of Queensland virologist Dr. Ian McKay. Give me a break. I know who this person they're talking about. He give me a break. Pointed out that vaccinations are an expense you only need to make once, and so aren't very profitable. So she's saying there that they don't make any profit off vaccinations, Dr. Emma. Ironically. With only a few vaccinations, we are protected for our entire lives, Dr. McKay said. He added the issue might be better directed towards those who take vitamins and natural remedies. This is the attack, Dr. Reamer, on natural therapists and vitamins and herbalists and naturopaths and homeopathy as well. So these promoted for regular use require repeated purchase and thus are an ongoing source for profit. Yet they have largely unproven impact on our health. So they're basically saying if you look after your immune system and you don't take vaccines, but you look after your immune system every day for your life, which is an effort, Dr. Emmer, it's not free. You have silver products, and we talk about cannabis oil. I buy certain products for health. I buy fresh fruit and vegetables. This is an expense that Dr. McKay is saying is a waste of money, having a healthy immune system. But what do you think about that one?
Well, when I read this article, I sat there for a while with my jaw hanging open, and I said, oh, dear God, where do you begin? So let's begin at the beginning of this stupidity. Vaccines as an industry produce a fairly good amount of profit for the pharmaceutical industry, but that's not where the real money is. In that, she's almost correct. Vaccines are not the most profitable part of the pharmaceutical industry. It is the downstream market from vaccines where the real money lies. Cancer, cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's disease, autism, diabetes, autoimmune problems of all kinds from one end of the spectrum to the other, asthma, atopic dermatitis, chronic degenerative states of one kind or another. Did I mention infertility and sterility? These are the real markets in the vaccine industry, and they are the ones that are produced by and enhanced by the use of vaccines. So vaccines themselves are not the real money makers, although they do make a significant amount of money. The government and the pharmaceutical industry are absolutely in bed together. The lobbying and the control and the phony NGO, very well funded NGO pressure for vaccination. The United Nations program, the GSHI, the Global Strategic GHSI, the Global Health Strategic Initiative, which wants everybody vaccinated on the planet for every single thing, is specifically designed explicitly and specifically to reduce population. And of course, the evil Mr. Bill Gates has made it clear that the use of vaccines is specifically effective in reducing population because of the sterility and shortening of lifespan and so on. So the fact is that the very, very large downstream market of vaccine-induced dangers is the real plum that the pharmaceutical industry seeks, while it makes the entire population as sick and as profitable as possible. Remember, the pharmaceutical industry does not make money from healthy people.
Yes, vaccinated children in large part become customers for life.
Absolutely. It's such an incredibly brilliant marketing plan. It's also incredibly evil.
All right. Well said. We'll go on to two now. Fiction, vaccines can cause autism, and it might be because mercury is one of the ingredients. And talks about, we've got a fact here, one study published in 1998 by UK doctor Andrew Wakefield, great man, suggested the vaccines for measles, mumps and rubella, MMR, could activate autism. The argument fell apart in 2004 after a journalist named Brian Deer revealed Wakefield had falsified the data and had conflicts of interest, which he kept hidden. So the scientific journal where Wakefield's study was published was removed, and he was stripped of his medical license. Since then, a barrage of more than 40 peer-reviewed scientific studies has shown no link between vaccines and autism, and it just doesn't exist, says here in the article. So people argue a type of preservative often used in vaccines might be what's linked to causing autism. The preservative called thimerosal is a salt containing a tiny amount of mercury. But this isn't the type of mercury that accumulates in the body and causes any harm.
No, of course not. Of course not. Let's start with a tiny amount. A tiny amount is 49.5% mercury by weight. And then let's start with the next fact, that mercury is one of the most toxic substances known, and that any amount of mercury is highly toxic to the entire organism, including the nervous system. And let's also start with the fact that aluminum is present in virtually every vaccine at this point. And let's start with the fact that glyphosate or Roundup in food, and sadly in vaccines, a recent study showed that virtually every vaccine from China, from India, from the United States, from Australia, from Japan, from France, from Germany, virtually every single vaccine had glyphosate or Roundup in it. Now, the only way that Roundup can be put into a vaccine is if somebody goes glug, glug, glug and pours it into the vaccine manufacturing process. So aluminum and glyphosate together, according to the brilliant work of Dr. Stephanie Senup, who is a professor at MIT, and there are not too many stupid professors at MIT, Dr. Senup says that the combination of glyphosate and aluminum damages the blood-brain barrier in such a way that the brain becomes inflamed, and the inflammation frequently leads to not only attention deficit disorder and behavioral deficits and suppression of the immune system, but it also leads to the clinical syndrome that we call autism. The 30 papers that debunked the 40 papers or 80 papers or whatever number was mentioned, are so poorly done that the hundreds of papers and the now 8 major studies that show that unvaccinated children are strikingly healthier than vaccinated ones, they don't go away by just waving a bunch of silly words around. And Dr. Wakefield's paper did not, if you bothered to read the paper, author, you would notice this. Dr. Wakefield's paper did not suggest that the MMR vaccine could elicit the symptoms of autism. He said that in children who were already autistic, when he took a biopsy of their GI walls, and they had terrible GI problems, which is why he, a gastroenterologist, was looking at the wall of the gut, when he took that sample and he looked for viruses in it, what he found was the active disease-causing virus, the measles virus of the MMR vaccine. That's what the paper says. He never said in his article that vaccines could possibly cause autism, although they can. He said, in the autistic children that I studied, the vaccine virus is still active and causing disease. That's a different thing. It's pretty bad. But then he was vilified. We all know the Rupert Murdoch vaccine conflict of interest story. And so we know that Mr. Brian Deere is himself a lowlife scumbag who was set on this case as a journalist for hire attack dog and, you know, is beneath contempt. So vaccines, in fact, do cause autism. Vaccines have been known to cause autism for a long time, and their ingredients separately and in combination have been known to cause autism. So I think that myth has been debunked. We've gotten through that one, and we can ignore it now because it's just plain, flat out wrong.
Very well said. All right, we'll move on here. Diseases had already started going away from better sanitation and hygiene over time. Fact, this is true, but infectious diseases dropped in number until the point when they began to circulate among us. Vaccinations attack the serious diseases caused by this ongoing circulation. Some diseases, like cancer due to human papillomavirus, HPV, were not even considered to be involved with infectious agents. Now we have a vaccine that reduces cancer, Dr. McKay says.
Yeah! Yeah! Okay. Yeah! Okay. All right. This has to be broken down into several parts. Let's start at the end and work backwards. No human papillomavirus has ever been shown to be a causative agent in cervical cancer or uterine cancer or any cancer. HPV viruses do not cause cancer. How did they get this bad rap? Well, every woman during her lifetime will at some point have HPV virus. It comes and it goes. It's a self-limiting condition. It's not a disease. And at some point, unfortunately, some women will also have cancer. Now, if I'm wearing shoes today and it's raining, that doesn't mean, and I go outside and I get wet and my shoes get wet, that doesn't mean that my shoes and the rain are connected in any way. If I am a woman, which I happen to be, and in my reproductive tract, I have a perfectly normal resident of it for a couple of years, called HPV. That doesn't mean that if I also have cancer, the HPV and the cancer have anything to do with one another. They do not. But when women are given the HPV virus vaccine, several really bad things happen, including the fact that they are 46.7% more likely to get cervical cancer than unvaccinated women. That's interesting. Now, several other things happen. The FDA gave its approval for the HPV vaccine on the assurance of the manufacturer, Merck, that there could be no protein from the HPV virus present, that the manufacturing process completely eliminated any possibility of any of that protein being injected into the body, because if it were injected into the body, and remember, injections bypass the principal immunological systems and barriers, the skin, the lungs, and the gut. So when you inject something directly into the body, you've defeated the immune system's ability to protect you. So when this is injected, if there were protein from the virus, that would be a very bad thing. So the FDA gave its approval on the assurance of the manufacturer that there would be no foreign protein. Then Dr. Lee out of New Zealand showed that indeed there was a bunch of foreign DNA protein and lots of other proteins that were being injected. And the FDA said, oh, well, yeah, but, well, we'll just look the other way and sort of pretend that it's not there and allow the vaccine to continue to be used. We won't do what we said we would do, which is if foreign proteins were found, we would pull the vaccine off the market. The consequences of the HPV vaccine are horrendous. And since we're giving it to both boys and girls, and let me point out, Adam, that boys do not have uteruses, they do not have cervixes, and they therefore cannot get cervical cancer. And the nonsense that it's preventing somehow genital warts and anal cancer and oral cancer, that is completely unfounded nonsense. And let me point out that this miserable, evil vaccine was the subject of an award. Pharma is the trade organization of the pharmaceutical industry. And Pharma presented Merck, the manufacturer of Gardasil, with an award for, and I quote from the plaque, creating a market out of thin air. It's about sales, but it's also about infertility. You give this to children, you give this to young people, you give this to women, and you are creating more and more infertile women and infertile or sterile men. And that is the subtext of vaccines. So that particular part of it has to be understood in context. HPV doesn't cause cancer. The vaccine enhances the chance of a woman getting cancer, and it does a whole lot of very bad things to people who receive it. What was before that? I lost track.
That's all right. We can. That's answered pretty well. I'm pretty happy with that. We'll move on. We'll move on. I know it's late for you, so we'll get through. And this is very important, though. You're going above and beyond. It's very important for people, and I hope people appreciate this indeed. Number four is vaccinations should be spread out over time. We know Trump has mentioned this, and a lot of people have talked about this, that they need to be spread out or whatever. Fact, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's vaccination schedule means children are protected from 14 different diseases before they're 2 years old. Anti-vaxxers incorrectly believe this is too many vaccinations in a short period of time, causing the immune system to be overwhelmed by too many new challenges. Experts have sung out time and time again against this falsehood. For our entire lives, from the day we're born, our immune system is bombarded by infectious and non-infectious challenges, Dr. McKay says, or said. It is the role of our immune system defences not only to counter any threat from this assault, but also to learn from each encounter and becomes better at defending us when we cross paths with the same threat over and over again throughout our lives, he said. This is the case whether the challenge comes from vaccines or natural infections.
This is so stupid, I don't know where to start. If you damage your foot with a hammer, you take a hammer and you bang on your foot until the structures are broken and the ordinary function is distorted beyond recognition, and then you say, go ahead and run. Your foot is designed to carry you and help you walk and run. And therefore, anything that we do to the foot is just part of the normal challenge that trains the foot in how to function better and better. So go ahead and walk. I've broken your foot now, but go ahead and walk and run. And by the way, I don't understand why you're not doing a marathon this week. It's not a bad analogy. When vaccines are given to people, first of all, vaccines are dirty. Everybody thinks that vaccines would be clean and precise and manufactured in a very scientific way. They're not. They're filled with all kinds of random crap that doesn't belong in the body. Stealth viruses, for example, the CDC acknowledged that 210 million courses, not doses, but courses of the polio vaccine that were given to children around the world, most of them in the United States, but not all of them, were contaminated with a stealth virus called SV40, simian virus 40, which is known to cause leukemia, breast cancer, prostate cancer, brain cancer, and a number of other cancers. They did not, they say on their website, require the manufacturer to filter the virus out from the polio vaccines because they did not want to impose a financial burden on the manufacturer. The burden, by the way, would have been less than one nickel, 5 cents, per vaccine dose. They did not want to impose a financial burden, and so they allowed this contaminated vast amount of vaccine, 300, I said 210, but it's actually 310 million courses, of which 210 were administered in the United States and 100 million outside the United States. So the result was the worldwide epidemic of childhood leukemia. Remember I told you that vaccines create a downstream market where the real money is? Well, up until the rise of autism very recently, cancer was the most financially productive disease known to humanity. And if you use the vaccines to create a worldwide cancer epidemic, leukemia, breast cancer, prostate cancer, brain cancer, then the amount of money that rolls in from that secondary market is almost incomprehensible. The reality is that vaccines are highly contaminated. What's on the label is not necessarily what's in the vaccine at all. And some of it is because of the dirty manufacture. Some of it is because any ingredient that's used in processing does not have to be listed. So people are told that mercury, for instance, has been removed from childhood vaccines. Well, it has been as an ingredient, but it's still being used as a processing agent. For instance, the bottles are washed in thimerosal, and any thimerosal clinging to the bottle is then part of the vaccine, and a lot of thimerosal mercury clings to the bottle. And then parents are told that the vaccine is mercury-free, and of course, it's not. So vaccines are horribly contaminated, and that contamination is extremely toxic to us and to our immune system. Every vaccine contains something called an adjuvant, and the purpose of an adjuvant is to irritate the immune system so that it will produce more antibodies. It is basically being poked with a hot poker. Now, all of this might be okay if the antibodies that the adjuvanted vaccine, the poisonous vaccine, causes the body to produce, if those antibodies actually protected against disease. But the fact is, for 60 years, we have known that responding with an irritated response to the adjuvant and the foreign protein and the antigen and so on, all that stuff, responding strongly is not associated, listen carefully, is not associated with disease protection. What does that mean? It means you get vaccinated, and remember, every vaccine, at least in the United States, has to be shown to be both safe and effective. Vaccines don't work. I wrote a paper which is available at tinyurl.com/Dr. Rima India Paper, DRRIMA India Paper, in which I showed that according to government statistics from England, Wales, the United States, Canada, etc., the only thing that caused infectious diseases to drop was clean water, sanitation, hygiene, and an improved diet. And that when vaccines were introduced, the diseases came back. That's from government statistics for 150 years. Now, if you only look at the tail end of those graphs, you can be misled. If you look at the whole graph going back 150 years, it's absolutely clear that it was all of the infectious diseases, every single one, had declined dramatically and precipitously before the introduction of the infectious disease vaccines. And then the vaccine caused an increase in the disease once again.
Well said. Great information, Doc. And
thank you.
Moving on here, number five, fiction. I've heard about other children who got sick after being vaccinated. Vaccinations must have too many dangerous side effects. Facts. Any of the rare instances of side effects. I know where you're going to let me go on here. Any of the rare instances of side effects from vaccines are well documented and continuously tracked. Just like any medicine, it's important to ask your doctor about any concerns you may have. Vaccines have far, far fewer risks than are attached to getting a natural infection by the viruses and bacteria they protect against, Dr. McKay says. Oh, my God. It's very possible to have been infected by a common cold virus. There are hundreds around the same time as you get your influenza vaccine. Oh, how nice. For example, this may feel like the vaccine has given you the illness No, but it's just coincidence because the vaccine doesn't have any infectious virus in it. And I've heard this all the time, how they keep saying how any reaction that you may have as a parent, or if you take your child in and get vaccinated, we've got your concerns top priority, and we've got a team around the clock who are assessing anything that may happen, and we're onto it like a bunch of little superheroes. And that is absolute crap. The trolls keep pushing that, you know. It's unbelievable.
This is so interesting because... Yeah, give me a break.
Break your syringe.
Yeah. If you read the package inserts, it says that one of the side effects, one of the impacts of taking the flu shot is flu-like symptoms. That means you get the flu.
You don't worry about that. That's all in your mind.
That's all in your mind. You're imagining that there's a correlation. Yeah, it must have been something else. Well, let's go to polio. In India, in the 13 months before India was declared a polio-free country by the World Health Organization and the CDC, they vaccinated huge numbers of children. And they also tested 57,300 children who came down with what looked like polio. And all of them had the disease correlated with the presence of the same virus that was in the vaccines. And if they received the vaccines and developed polio, these children were twice as likely to die as if they just got polio in the community. Well, the interesting thing here is WHO and the CDC declared India a polio-free country just after this was happening. And the question is, how could that be? And the answer is really interesting. They changed the name. Instead of acute flaccid paralysis, that's polio, they changed the name of what the children were developing with the virus that they had been injected with in the vaccine to non-polio acute flaccid paralysis. And shazam, India became a polio-free country. Now, interestingly, the other huge success of vaccinology, of the religion of vaccinology, is smallpox. And we know that smallpox was eradicated by the smallpox vaccine, except no such thing happened. What happened was the World Health Organization, the United States government, WHO, and the usual bad actors said, well, this is embarrassing. We've been doing this vaccine eradication program against smallpox, and there's still plenty of smallpox in Africa, in India, and so on. What are we going to do? We can't tell people this. And so I am sad to say that somebody I know, somebody I actually went to medical school with, Dr. Larry Brilliant, was working for WHO at that time, and he came up with a solution to the problem. He was indeed brilliant. And the solution to the problem was very simple and elegant, and that is change the name of the disease. Smallpox ceased to exist when the administrative change was made that nobody ever got smallpox anymore. They got monkeypox. Well, a group of virologists became very confused. They said, monkeypox? What's monkeypox? I never heard of monkeypox. You know what monkeypox is? Nope, I don't know what monkeypox is. Do you know what monkeypox is? Nope, don't know what monkeypox is. So they went and they got tissue and fluid samples from 611 people who had died of monkeypox. And they identified the virus that was present in the tissue and fluid samples, and it is identical with smallpox. Now, that's disturbing enough. Smallpox was not eradicated by any vaccine. Smallpox has decreased greatly because of sanitation, hygiene, clean water, and better diet. And where those things are not in place, well, you run the risk of getting various kinds of diseases, whether you've been inoculated or not. But there's something even more disturbing. I have in my files an internal memorandum dated 1985 from the World Health Organization. It was leaked to me by a whistleblower from inside the World Health Organization in Geneva, in their headquarters. And it says, and I quote, that the smallpox vaccination program was designed to eliminate 150 million excess sub-Saharan Africans. Eliminate, keep them from being born. Because the smallpox vaccine is an anti-fertility vaccine. WHO, in an internal memo, makes that point. Surprise.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a big one. Yeah. No one seems to want to touch that one. Yeah. What they really do, what they really are, what they were really designed for, you know? Yeah. Attack on our fertility, the attack on the immune system, attack on human beings.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about tetanus. The tetanus vaccine is given to women, and it renders them infertile because it is laced with human chorionic gonadotropin, and the body then makes antibodies to this necessary hormone, and without that hormone operating correctly, you can get pregnant. An embryo can be formed when the egg and the sperm unite, but you cannot hold the pregnancy. That embryo cannot be implanted into the wall of the uterus and the body retain it. So a woman becomes permanently and forever infertile. She will never have a baby. And so they cooked up the nonsense of neonatal tetanus, which doesn't exist, in order to convince women that they needed 5 tetanus shots. Now, the women who need it are all between the ages of 15 and 45. Those are the childbearing years. And most cases of tetanus around the world are found in men, not women. And it's not men who are getting the tetanus vaccine series. It's women for this nonsense of neonatal tetanus. And if the woman is pregnant at the time, she loses the baby and she'll never have another pregnancy.
Goodness me. Okay, thanks for that, Doc. Move on to 6 now, fiction. It's my child, it's none of your business, and we should have the right to choose for ourselves, whatever we want to do. Vaccinations are not only safe for your child, but also ensure that those who can't have vaccinations aren't at risk, such as those who have gone through chemotherapy or the elderly. Why increase the risk that your children, your parents and grandparents, or your friends could become very sick and hospitalized? You protect more than just your child when you vaccinate, Dr. McKay says.
So do the people that you're protecting when you vaccinate your child also get autism when your child does? Do they also get asthma when your child does? And oh, by the way, since these things don't work, the whole effort is nonsense in terms of protecting anybody, because when people are, when grandparents and so on are vaccinated against, say, pertussis, the incidence of pertussis goes up in the neonate. What we've done with our, for example, pertussis vaccination is to change the time in life when people get pertussis. It used to be that pertussis was a disease of toddlers, and because their airways are large enough, most children did not suffer serious consequences or die. It's terrible to hear a child whooping with that cough. It's really awful. But aside from scaring the parents to death and making the child unhappy, for most children, pertussis or diphtheria is not a life-threatening disease. They've made it in so that everything is a life-threatening disease. Measles is not a life-threatening disease. Chickenpox is not a life-threatening disease. Vaccines are life-threatening. And so, and oh, by the way, most cases of sudden infant death are cases of vaccine injury. We have the science, and it really is as close to settled as science ever gets. But what's happened is that these cocooning vaccine programs wind up increasing the number of deaths from pertussis in infants because the people who visit the children are now infectious. And people who are recently vaccinated spread the disease. People, I'll say that again, people who are recently vaccinated spread the disease against which they have supposedly been vaccinated. This is a clearly established and well-known phenomenon. So indeed, it's my children, and if I want to vaccinate my children, that's fine. And you have no right to tell me not to vaccinate them. That's true. But then you and your children need to be quarantined until you stop shedding the virus. One poor fellow in the UK is still shedding infective poliovirus 32 years after vaccination. How long are you shedding viruses after vaccination? And here's the kicker. If vaccination works, then why do you care whether I'm unvaccinated? If you're protected, why does it matter whether my child or I are unvaccinated if we're going to get this horrible disease and die? So, you know, what do you care? But indeed, it doesn't work. And therefore, I have to be vaccinated to protect whom? But then again, there are these people who have had chemotherapy or whatever, and so they're exempt from vaccination. No, they're not. That's another fiction of these fiction mongers, because vaccine exemptions are now no longer available pretty much no matter what you have or don't have. Vaccine exemptions are not being offered to people who have chemotherapy or mitochondrial dysfunction or whatever, because this herd immunity thing went from 67%. And there is no evidence whatsoever supporting herd immunity. None. It's a theory and it doesn't apply to human beings at all. So it went from 67%, totally arbitrary, to 80%, totally arbitrary, to 85%, totally arbitrary, to 92%, totally arbitrary, to 95%, totally arbitrary, to 99%. So who are these people that we're protecting who can't be injected, who can't be vaccinated? I'll tell you who they are. They're the pediatricians and the pediatricians' children, because they're not getting vaccinated. They're the nurses and the nurses' children, because they're not getting vaccinated. They're the pharmaceutical scientists and their children, because they're not getting vaccinated. They're the enforcers and their children, because it's too dangerous for them, but it's okay for you.
Well said, that's right. Yeah, I got played a clip the other day as well. I think it was Jessica Rowe on Studio 10 program saying these anti-vaxxers, they're wicked. They're just wicked, she says. Their unvaccinated children are putting fully immunized children in the community at risk. I thought at least they called this a vaccination debate. I thought I was waiting for at least a cameraman or someone to step in and say, what did you just say? Excuse me, could you explain that? But, you know, they keep saying that anyway. It's totally bizarre. It's bonkers. But they say
it's
all the
bonkers.
Time.
It's bonkers. Yes. Fully vaccinated children are at risk because they've been fully vaccinated.
That's right. They don't know what they're saying. They're just stooges. Anyway. Nearly finished, Doc. We'll go on to seven now. Fiction, batches of vaccines called hot lots cause more side effects, injuries and deaths than others. Fact, as with anything we put into our bodies, medicine, food and natural vitamins, there have been instances of problems. When it comes to vaccines, these problems are quickly sorted out because of an ongoing surveillance system. We talked about that before, that checks for all these adverse events. Yeah, so... Okay. Once discovered, the vaccines are immediately pulled, and studies are done to better the version and create another one, I guess. This is surveillance, Dr. McKay says. It's what makes vaccines safer than less well-monitored remedies. So he's attacking remedies.
You know what?
Unbelievable.
My mother used to say, there is no cure for stupid.
It's unbelievable. I'm telling you now, Doctor, if you're in Australia, for example, and you take your little boy down, your little boy or girl down to a medical center and they get jabbed and they go home and they have a severe adverse reaction and flop around the floor or whatever it may be, there's going to be no surveillance. You're going to get no help. You're going to get completely ignored by the medical system, by the government. You're going to be out in the cold by yourself. So all this rubbish McKay keeps talking about this ongoing surveillance and how they're constantly checking for adverse reactions, and little Jimmy had a reaction at the doctor's office, we're on to it and we're going to send our team out there to protect you and your family, and we're going to right this wrong immediately. It's absolute rubbish. So I don't think we need to answer
rubbish.
This. It's so stupid. You know how many people are out there suffering with vaccine injured children? You know, they're not getting any help. They're getting attacked for even talking about it.
Exactly.
This is ridiculous to think, to tell people that there's this surveillance team there, you know, who constantly care about each vaccine and your health and what happens to your kids. Oh my God.
You're right. It's complete balderdash. Complete. You know, if you have a weakness in the system, you can either fix it or you can develop a propaganda puff system to make the system appear to not be real and to blame the people who identify the system problem. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Absolutely. Let's go down now to the last one, Dr. Rima, 8, fiction. Vaccine manufacturers are not listing all the ingredients, so they could be putting anything into our children. Fact, this is plainly wrong. Manufacturers are required to list the ingredients in every vaccination according to the Therapeutic Goods Administration, and they do it in quite extensive package inserts, Dr. McKay said.
I feel so much better.
I trust the Therapeutic Goods Administration, Dr. Rima, so I don't know what's wrong with
you.
I trust the CDC.
I trust the FDA. I trust the EPA. I trust the World Health Organization. And I'd like you to microchip me right now. The nonsense of this is really pretty close to overwhelming. There is... First of all, as I said earlier, under U.S. law, and I'm pretty sure that it's very, very closely followed by Australia and New Zealand and Canada and Singapore and only those things which are used as ingredients need to be listed on the vaccine label. Those things that are used as processing agents do not. For instance, on your ingredient label, does it say beef heart growth medium? Oh, no, it doesn't. Does it say cephalosporin, a horribly toxic antibiotic? Oh, no, it does not. Does it say fluoride? Oh, no, it does not. Does it say monosodium glutamate? Oh, no, it does not. Does it say insect protein extract? Oh, no, it does not. Does it say nanochip? In the United States, and I cannot speak to the situation in Australia, but in the United States, every manufacturer of a vaccine that is legal to deploy in the United States, that has an approval to be deployed, because as I said earlier, no vaccine is legal since they all violate statutory requirements. But every vaccine manufacturer who is approved to deploy any vaccine for any purpose in the United States signed a contract between 2011 and 2013 with the Department of Defense, agreeing to use nanochips in their vaccines. Now, nanochips are not listed on the ingredient labels of any vaccine. Why? Because the contract stipulates that they not be. Ooh. So myth number 8 is double myth. The myth, the statement that it's a myth is a myth. There are all kinds of things in vaccines that we don't know about, and we wouldn't really be happy having them injected into us. But then again, we really shouldn't be happy about having anything injected into us except nutrients.
Geez, what's the compensation payouts in the U.S., Doc? Billions, isn't
it? It's almost $4 billion.
That's for who have been injured by vaccinating, yeah.
Or killed. In the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board Special Court, the rules of evidence are very different from a regular court. You can't present witnesses very easily. Most cases never get to the compensation board. And of the ones that do, something like 98% fail because of the corruption of the special master system. It's not a jury trial at all. However, they have still been forced to pay out nearly $4 billion U.S. for this unavoidably unsafe, risky, damaging, dangerous procedure that the author of this piece tells us is safe and the expert tells us we shouldn't worry our pretty little heads about. Thank you. I will choose to worry about what's injected to my body and my child's body, because I know enough science to know, as I said at the very beginning of this podcast, that there is no way to prevent or cure disease by injecting pus and poison into the body.
Well, Dr. Brad McKay would have us believe that all vaccines are clearer than a New Zealand mountain stream.
Indeed. And Dr. Paul Offit, his U.S. counterpart, says that an infant can absorb safely 10,000 vaccines. Now, he was offered $1 million to accept 10,000 vaccines in his body, and he refused.
Of course. Yeah, they did that here in the Victorian government through Jill Hennessy, put a poster up on their websites, health websites, about that. But when we exposed it, it got exposed there, they pretty quickly took it down. It's with murderous intent, ugly behavior to put something like that up. My God, you go and do it then, Hennessy. You know, one of these people, go and do it then. Go and put 10,000 vaccines into your body then. My God.
When I was in medical school, the first day of microbiology, they said, men, because at that time women weren't supposed to be in medicine, they said, men, you're going to be handling live plague and tularemia and typhus and typhoid and tuberculosis and so on. And therefore, you need to be vaccinated against all of them. So they lined us up and they vaccinated all of us with all of these vaccines. Now, at least when I was in medical school, you did not miss a day of school. You were there, no matter what. I have never been so sick in my life. I was devastatingly ill, and so was every other member of the class. We must have had 25 vaccines, pretty bad ones. And it took months for us, healthy young people as we were, to recover. Not one of us said, wait a minute, all of us are sick. All of us got vaccinated. Do you think there's a correlation? Because we were so brainwashed that it couldn't possibly be. 100% of the class was desperately ill for months, and we were trained not to see it. And when I graduated from medical school, I still thought vaccines were helpful. And it wasn't until I began waking up from that particular dream that I realized how very pervasive the conditioning is and how much rides on not acknowledging what you know. It was hard to miss. The entire class of 110 people was poisoned.
That's what you said. You're trained to accept it and not see it. And that goes with the general public, and that's done through the media, who are just propaganda wings of big pharmaceutical industry. Interesting.
You know, this woman who wrote this article, what she was doing is bunking. She wasn't debunking, she was bunking. Because everything she wrote was bunk and worse.
That's right.
I think we have to start using that phrase. Here's another example of media bunking. I think we should give a bunking award to the most outrageous bunker.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh my the most God.
We could have a weekly bunking award, and then we could have an annual super bunking award.
They would be lining up at News Corp, I tell you.
I think so. And I think every one of the Murdoch shills would be in the running for the bunking award.
That's right. That's right, Doc. Well, very good show, and really appreciate what you have done here. It's very important. I would say to our listeners out there, if you're on board, that's fine. But if you have any family members or anyone you know that might be interested in what we just went through, please share the podcast. You know, it's free, for God's sakes. Share it out. And if you have stubborn relatives or stubborn people that you know that will not budge, try. If they're not interested, then move on. But if you know anyone who would be interested in hearing Dr. Rima go through what she did, with the bunkers, then, you know, share it to them. And I'll get this up as soon as possible and get it out there, Doc. So anything you want to mention before we plug out?
Yes, I do. I want to make 2 points. You have the right, regardless of what the government is telling you, to refuse any and all medical treatments that you do not wish to have, including vaccination. To do that, and this is protected by international law and national law and the Constitution of Australia, as it happens. To do that, you need to assert your right correctly. So I suggest you go to another of our tiny URLs. This one is tinyurl.com/ A as in Apple, V as in Victor, D as in David, card, AVD. Card. And there you will find information about the Advance Vaccine Directive Card, which legally and authoritatively asserts your right to refuse all vaccines. If you have a child you want to protect, they'll need their own card. And you can find out about it. This is a powerful innovation by the Natural Solutions Foundation. We're very proud of it. This will protect people who assert their right in 126 countries. That's pretty cool. So that's one thing. And the second thing is that I have a book, an e-book, that I would like to mention. And that is a book designed to help families retrieve their children from autism. The official line is that there is no cure. That's like every other official line. It's bunk. So debunking it, yes, there is a cure for autism. There are many cures for autism, just like there are many cures for cancer. So the book is available at our store, which is NSF.com. nsfmarketplace.com/main store. NSF stands for Natural Solutions Foundation. So it's nsfmarketplace.com/main store. And there you will find the definitive autism action plan. I hope you enjoy it.
Absolutely. Great work. Incredible work on your part. And people can also find that link over at the Open Source Truth website.
Yes.
And that's linked on CRAS Files. You'll see the little book on the top screen to your right. You'll see the action book there. So click on that, and that takes you to the Marketplace website as well. Doesn't it, Dr. Emma? Takes you through there.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Also,
thank you.
Yeah, your Dr. Emma Truth Report article's up there. And this will be a big post with this podcast, because I'll add on all of that as well in there. And a lot of people in Australia were asking about the AV card as well. And
yes, and it works.
To Australia. Yeah, the costs,
yes.
they weren't sure if it was better to get maybe bulk, if it was cheaper. I did send you through some questions.
The bulk is great.
But
Yeah. Bulk is great. We'd love to send a whole bunch over all at once, and then you can distribute them. That's a great idea.
Okay, well, I'll put one of the cards up, and people will just click on that, and it'll take them through where they can purchase, obviously. And,
great.
Is that it? Anything else? Anything else?
That's it. That's it.
Okay.
And,
well,
oh, yes, one more thing. The globalists don't have the power. Big Pharma doesn't have the power. You do. You have to assert it.
Yeah, especially, that's right. Parents, your kids need you. They look up to you. They need you to protect them. And don't give the power to these vampires.
Exactly.
Don't give it to them. That's exactly right. It's in your hands. And I think people are realizing that here. So, we keep moving forward. And great to speak with you. I really appreciate it.
Wonderful talking with you. It was a pleasure.
Good luck, and we'll keep in touch as we normally do. You've got some exciting
Absolutely.
Things happening for the Natural Solutions Foundation
Indeed.
Page, so we'll keep in touch with that and keep posting and keep moving forward.
Thank you, Adam. You too. You're
Thanks
doing great work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.